主の彼方に光る星、青い地球は。
And my producer of today's show has been so generous. He just given me an extra hour, so we'll have lots of things to talk about today, which will be a lot of fun. I want to thank everyone so much for your support and love, because I know if we all work together, we'll create a much better and happier place. 1111 is a very special number. It's an angelic number. And so I want all of us to send lots of love and light around the world to create peace and harmony, because I know that our thoughts are very powerful and that we all have the ability to create a much better and happier world. They've done this experiment before. There's a university in Iowa called the Maharishi International University, where they've done group meditation for world peace, and they found that like crime decreases like at least by 50%. People feel much better. They're far more happier and healthier. So that if you do send, if you're listening today and on this show, whether audio or video, please send lots of love and light around the world, and especially to the victims of sex trafficking and pedophilia around the world. It's a huge problem. I've been told that there are many politicians involved in these heinous activities, but they will be exposed because this is now a time of truth. I had an astrologist on my show in 2014 named Susan Miller. She's a wonderful astrologist in New York City. And she told me during her interview on my show on April of 2014 that this was a time of truth, that things that are true will become true, and those that are false also will become evident as being false. And so it's going to be very difficult for any politicians or anyone really to say any lies at all, because we soon all will be shifting into the fifth dimension. And as we shift, we will be able to communicate telepathically. Language will become secondary, but we will be able to communicate telepathically. So I want everyone to please pray for world peace today. As I said, a week from today, I'll be in Mount Shasta. I go there several times a year. Mount Shasta now in Northern California has started to shift into the fourth and then fifth dimension. When I go there next week, there are parts of the mountain actually now in the fourth dimension. And when you're in the fourth dimension, you feel so much lighter, and you almost feel like floating away. When I'm down there, the energies are so good. And when I was there a month ago, my friend of mine videotaped a spacecraft. We could see inside the spacecraft. It was that close to the campsite with these huge picture windows, and you could actually see entities inside walking around the spacecraft. And I'll play it on next week's show if you like. But I will be broadcasting a week from today from Mount Shasta. So if you can, please listen, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. But the entire Earth is changing. Mount Shasta is just one of the first places to shift into the fourth and then fifth dimension. Next year, it'll be followed by Sedona, parts of Tibet, and the entire planet will shift into the fifth dimension by the year 2024, at the latest 2025. It's going to take some time. Simon and I have actually talked about this before in my radio show. And on most planets in this universe, when they do this dimensional shift into the higher dimensions, it can take 100,000 or several hundred thousand years. As an example, other planets in this universe have also shifted to the higher dimensions. But when they, for example, shift from the third dimension to the fourth dimension, that process can take several hundred years, maybe 200,000 or 300,000 years. And then before it shifts again from the fourth to the fifth, that can take another long time. What we're doing is we're creating history in this universe by shifting within a very short amount of time, within a matter of months, into the fourth dimension and then into the fifth dimension. And when we're in the fifth dimension, people say, well, what are dimensions like? There's actually 12 different dimensions. The top dimension is the 12th dimension, where the supreme being or the prime creator, God, if you will, resides. We exist here in the third dimension. The vibrational frequencies of the third dimension are a lot lower than the fourth and fifth dimension. Fourth dimension is where time's located. And people say, well, What's time? It's an illusion, actually. And as you get into the higher dimensions, in the fifth dimension, there's also time, but it moves at a much slower rate. As an example, there's a city underneath Mount Shasta called Telos, of which Adama is the high priest of Telos. And in that city, they are in the fifth dimension. If you go there into Telos in the fifth dimension, you may see, some, like your watch may say, you've been only gone for 5 minutes. Okay. But then when you come back into the third dimension, after being in the fifth dimension at Mount, at underneath in Telos and underneath Mount Shasta, you may be gone for 5 or 6 hours. And this is what happened to a group of people from Korea who were on my trip to Mount Shasta in September 2016. They had been praying and meditating for years to go into the hollow earth. And so we got a van and we drove them over to a portal, a huge portal that goes right into the hollow earth. Dropped them off about 10 a.m. in the morning. And we came back to we came back there to look for them at 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They weren't there. Nobody was there. Finally, at about 5 or 6 p.m. that night, they suddenly came walking out of this cliff, which was a portal to the hollow earth, amid all this beautiful white light and purple light. Purple light is the light of Saint Germain, one of the guardian spirits of Mount Shasta. And they were completely disoriented. They said they'd gone to Telos, which is a city underneath Mount Shasta, and then taken a shuttlecraft from Telos to a city called Shambhala. Now, Shambhala is an interesting place. It's underneath the where Tibet is located today. It is a real city in the fifth dimension, and they had visited it. One of the reasons why they didn't stay longer, they stayed about a day down there, is because they had little children, and the little children were having problems adapting to the high vibrations. They got panicky and they decided to come back. So they left early. And when I ran into them, my members of my group ran into them, they were walking around completely disoriented. And on their watches, even though they had been gone for about 8 hours or so on Earth time in this third dimension, their watches only showed maybe less than an hour. That was because time moves much slower in the fifth dimension. And if you'd like to listen to their interviews, please go to my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net, and you'll see past guests at the top. Click on that and go down to the year of 2016, September, and you'll see my interviews with this wonderful group of Koreans who were in the Hollow Earth. We'll be going back there at the end of this. I'll be going back there at the end of this week. If you'd like to go, this trip at the end of this week is actually completely full. But I'm having a second trip from March 23rd through September 30th. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. We still have some room left. Also, if you can't make this year, I'm going back again to Mount Shasta next year from July 1st to the 8th, 2021. And again, from September 1st to the 8th, 2021. We always see Adama and the people of Telos when we're there. We also, recently I've been in contact with Admiral Halosaurus, who's the Pleiadian Admiral in charge of 2 million Pleiadian UFOs now circling the planet. Actually, when I was at Mount Shasta about a month ago, Admiral Halosaurus invited me on his ship. And so I did go up on his ship. His ship actually was half organic and half metal. And the crew control the ship. They steer the ship through their minds. So it's an amazing experience. I was up there. The ship itself is a living entity. And so it's a good idea to have good thoughts when you're up there. If you're in a bad mood, they won't let you up there. Or you have bad thoughts or negative thoughts, you won't be able to board the ship. Because thoughts are things in the fifth dimension. They exist in the fifth dimension. And if you're thinking bad thoughts, you could blow up the ship or cause some harm to the crew members, and that they don't really like that very much. So you've got to be in a good mood and in a high vibration. The Pleiadian ships themselves, if you look up in the sky, they're a triangular shape. They're shaped, not triangular, but they're shaped like a rectangle. In the middle of this rectangle, there's a large bright white light. And then they have lots of little dots around it in a rectangle. They're very, very distinctive kinds of ships. And I'll never forget, it happened about a year ago. I was with my group at Mount Shasta in July of 2019. And we spotted I got in contact with the Pleiadian ship, the mothership for Edmahalosaurus. And we were communicating telepathically. It was fun because I'd send him a question. He'd send me right back. And I asked him, could you please move your ship up? And he moved the ship up. And then I asked him to move it down and he went down. And then I asked him to move it right. He moved right. And I asked him then to move it left and he moved left. So it was kept going back and forth in this little fun exercise. And finally, after about, oh, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes of this, we could see him. He beamed himself down. He said, what are these crazy humans at this mountain anyway? What are they doing? And I'm going to go down and check them out. So he came down and he was in the fifth dimension. We were around this campfire and you could actually see Edmahalosaurus in this ephemeral, in the light of this campfire there. He was there. And he answered questions from my group. There was about, I don't know, just a small group there asking questions. And he said he'd been gone away from the Pleiades constellation for about 6 years. And they were based in Alcone, which is where their main bases for UFO craft. They had one huge mothership. And they had a little over about 2 million spacecraft around the planet. Many of those are drones. So it was just fascinating talking to him. He said that they all came as a result of the so-called fires in Malibu and Paradise, California, back in November of 2018. From what he said, that they weren't fires at all, but actually particle beam weapons directed at the poor inhabitants of those poor cities. And he also said that there were quite a few people that perished in each city. In Paradise, California, he said approximately 50,000 people died during that time, as well as about 30,000 in Malibu. I won't get into all the reasons it happened, but as a result of that, many of us asked for galactic help in the situation because we it's hard to fight that kind of event happening. So they came, and they're here now, and they will be with us until we shift into the fifth dimension, and they'll be here at least until 2025, possibly 2026. With all the fires happening in California now, I think it's time for us to ask for their help again to stop these fires. Many of them are not natural fires. They say they're from lightning, but I don't believe a word of it. I think a lot of these things are planned. But the Pleiadians have the wherewithal and the ability and the technology to help us and help stop these fires. So I want everyone listening to this show today, take their right hand if they're right-handed, or left hand if you're left-handed, and put it over your heart. Bow your head slightly and send them lots of love and light. The main person in charge of their ships is Edmahalosaurus. He's a wonderful man. He's here with me now. And just ask him for help with these fires so that they don't cause any more damage than they already have, and the people's lives are saved and properties are saved in California. California is a beautiful state. But there are negative entities there who are trying to burn it up, but we can stop it through the power of our thoughts and with the help of the Galactic Alliance. The Galactic Alliance, there's two main groups who visit this solar system, this planet, if you will. The good ones are called the Galactic Alliance of Interdimensional Free Worlds. I just call them the Galactics or the Galactic Alliance. They are between 50 and 100,000 years ahead of us technologically, and between 30 and 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. They are benevolent. They are mostly, but not all, human, and they love us. They love us dearly. If you'd like to bring them in for yourself to ask them for help, it's very simple to do. You do what's called the hue, and often the solution to things is right in front of you. The hue is H-U, is part of human. So if you say the hue, and they will come in and help you. And you just go like this. Hue. Isn't that nice and calming? We'll do it twice more. Hue. And one more time. Hue. And they will come in and help you. Now, the Pleiadians are part of the Galactics. The galactics themselves are comprised of 450 million planets in this part of the Milky Way galaxy. They are all benevolent, mostly human, and they're here to help us, and they do want to help us. The Pleiadians have a very interesting history. I myself have been here 52,000 years, and I came here long ago to help with the ascension and raising of consciousness on this planet. This is my last lifetime here on planet Earth before I return to my home in the Pleiades. And so I'm making as much use of the time as possible to raise this consciousness as much as possible. And also, as President Kennedy has asked me, to try to bring as many people along in the ascension as we can. Because if you miss this chance, your next opportunity will be 25,800 years from now, or one Mayan Ketun cycle. People may ask, well, what's a Mayan Ketun cycle? A Mayan Ketun cycle is the amount of time it takes for this solar system to go around the central sun of this galaxy. And that's 25,800 years. For people who miss this chance at ascension, they'll either go into some sort of limbo to make up their minds whether they want to come with the ascension or not, or if they want to stick to the old negative third dimensional ways, they will go to another planet on the other side of this solar system, which is in a lower part of a third dimension, and they'll be there for approximately 25,800 years. That's a long time, but that's their choice. And some people don't want to go along with the ascension, and the creator, the God, if you will, who created all of this, respects that. So, as Albert Einstein has told me many times, matter once created is never destroyed. It just takes on a new form. One of the most amazing things that happened to me years ago, about 5 years ago, was when I first met Albert Einstein. I've been working on, I think I've mentioned this story before, but since we have extra time today, my producers Doug and Don have been so nice to give me extra time today. I was working all day on my radio show at the time, and I walked out of this building, and I heard this voice in my head saying, "I hear you want to talk to me." And I looked around, and I couldn't see anyone. And I said, "Who's this?" And the voice said, "Well, this is Albert Einstein." And I was shocked. And I said, "I think I better sit down." So I sat down for the next 4 hours talking to him. And because that day I had been wondering what he would say about the world. At the time, there was talk of a nuclear war with North Korea. And and I asked him, I said, will this war happen? Will we have a conflict with North Korea? And he said, absolutely not. Even if the North Koreans, or God forbid, the United States military fired a nuclear missile at North Korea, we would stop it, as we have done at least 12 to 14 times in the 80s, 90s, and 70s between the U.S. and Soviet governments. And we're not going to let humanity destroy themselves. So that's what he said. And that was fascinating. And I remember, it was a couple of years later when finally the peace agreement was reached between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, on a peace deal. That was so amazing to see, because everything that they've told me in their book turned out to be correct. After talking to Albert Einstein for about 3.5 hours, I asked him, he said, "Would you like to meet my friends?" And I said, "Oh, I'd love to meet your friends." And so the first spirit to come through was Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci is a fascinating man, and I always have wondered how he was able to see into the future. And he said, "Ted, it's very simple. At night, I do astral traveling, and I travel far into the future to see what the future holds. I've been to your century many times before. I've seen planes flying, submarines, fantastic new technological devices, free energy, all kinds of things. And then when I come back in the morning after traveling all night, I simply write up what I see, or I draw what I see," because he was an excellent artist, of course. And so that's how he did his drawings of the future. And so it was just fascinating talking to him. And then after talking to him for a while, he said, "Would you like to meet my friends?" And I said, "Certainly, I'd love to." And then after that, he introduced Robert F. Kennedy, of course, who was assassinated back in 1967. And I had quite a talk with Mr. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, on his assassination. He said that Sirhan was a patsy. He didn't even fire the bullet that killed him. And they actually, the main bullet that he said killed him was a bullet fired from behind through his neck by a CIA agent named Eugene Thayne. And Mr. Thayne, after the assassination, was flown off to the Philippines, where I think I'm not sure where he is today, but he was living there for many decades under a government pension and out of sight, out of mind. And at that point, I asked Mr. Kennedy if I could talk to his brother, because I really, really appreciate Jack Kennedy and all the things he tried to do to help the world and this country. And he said, yes, he's right here. So I've been in contact with President Kennedy ever since. And it was thanks to his urging, as well as Mahatma Gandhi, Albert Einstein, and many other great spirits, and Nostradamus as well, to write this book. And so I wrote the book called Messages from the Masters. For those of you who ordered it, it's I've sent out about 150 copies of the book in the last week or two, so you should be receiving it soon. Sorry for the delay. I had a delay from my publisher, but if you'd like a copy, it's just $20. It includes a free brief reading from yourself, from myself, and it talks about our beautiful, bright future. At the time, they asked me to start writing the book, just looking at my time, back in 2015. There was talk of this nuclear war in North Korea. Of course, it didn't happen, did it? And they said that it was all complete nonsense about that war, that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. But we have to, of course, make the right choices to do that. We can't rely upon anybody but ourselves. Sure, I mean, we could have the Galactics to come in and the Pleiadians come in and give us a lot of help today with the conflicts we have, but we wouldn't learn anything. And they said that the Earth itself is a big school, and we're all here to learn lessons. And so they are, so we're all learning lessons now. And some of us are ready to ascend to the higher dimensions, and some of us aren't. And if you're not ready, that's fine. But you'll be giving another opportunity in the future to ascend to a higher dimension if you're not ready. But I've been so amazed by what all these great spirits told me during these last 5 years. They're all here with me now. On our future and what's going to happen. And they've never been wrong on anything. And if you want to ask a question of the spirits, just send me an email. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. That's outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm happy to answer any questions on air, or if you send me your email, I'd be happy to answer that. One of the things that President Kennedy pointed out to me, this was in the Oliver Stone movie, JFK. There's a scene where Kevin Costner we're getting some questions in. Good. I'll address them in a minute. There was a scene in the movie where Kevin Costner was in Auckland, New Zealand, and the day was it was November 23rd, 1963 in Auckland, New Zealand. Now, in November 23rd, because of the day difference between New Zealand and the United States, actually November 23rd in New Zealand was actually November 22nd in the United States, and President Kennedy was still alive in the United States. He was in Dallas, and that morning he'd flown from Washington, D.C. to Dallas to give his speech there and present himself before people in Dallas. And he was astounded to read this article, and this is a copy of the paper called the Christchurch Star, in Christchurch, New Zealand, and it says the top says Kennedy shot dead, gunned down during drive through Dallas, and it says here arrested man lived in Russia, enlightened and firm action was his mark. They were referring to, of course, the fellow who allegedly. Oswald, who allegedly killed President Kennedy back then. The problem is that this newspaper, this article, the press release for this article is released by the U.S. Embassy the previous day to the press in New Zealand on November 22nd, 1963, and on November 22nd, because of the day difference, was actually November 21st in the United States, and President Kennedy was still very much alive that day in Washington, D.C. He hadn't left till the next morning on November 22nd. For Dallas, early morning flight down to Texas. And so this story about Oswald shooting President Kennedy was an absolute fairy tale. It was fabricated to cover the true story behind the shooting of President Kennedy. If you order my book, Messages from the Masters, I will be happy to send you a copy of this article. Now, this article is not easy to get, and I'll explain you a little story what happened to me. It was 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago in 2017. And I was working on my radio show that day, and I had contacted the library down in Christchurch, New Zealand, and the newspaper actually for a copy of that article. And the library said that it was very controversial, and that newspaper article is very controversial because of the date change. And they were only able to send me a tiny little PDF of a copy of the newspaper article that was like inch and a half wide by an inch tall. And if you had an electron microscope, you could probably read the text, right? So, you know, or a super powerful magnifying glass. And they wouldn't send me the real article. They said, Mr. Marr, if you need a copy of the article, you will have to fly down to Auckland, New Zealand, present yourself in person, and we'll be happy to sell you a copy of the article. And I said, gee whiz, thanks so much. You know, flying down to New Zealand costs a couple $1,000. I didn't have the time or money to fly down there at that point. And after I got that kind of response, I was sort of discouraged. And then I got a message from President Kennedy. He said, go to your computer, Ted, and click on the logo for that. Click on that little inch by inch and a half icon for the PDF icon for the newspaper. So I clicked on it, and suddenly it filled my whole screen. So President Kennedy and his friends had blown up the newspaper article, and that's how come I have a full page copy. Not because of the library, not because of the newspaper in New Zealand, but because of President Kennedy, who wanted to get the word out. So if anyone wants a copy of that, they're welcome to get a hold of me, and I'm happy to send it to you. One of the amazing things is that when I do readings, and when you go into the fifth dimension, you get nothing but truth. I'll never forget the time when I first talked to my foster mother about learning how to do readings, and she gave me a reading. She first started me off in November of 1994. I'll never forget walking into her living room, and she read everything that was on my mind at the time, and then answered all my questions before I had barely was able to say, hi, how are you? And so that left quite an impression on me. And so from that moment on to when she passed in 2012, she taught me how to talk to the other side. And I learned a long time ago that when angels give you a message, you pay attention to it. And when you get messages from angelic authorities and also great spirits on the other side, you also pay attention to it because they're speaking from the truth. Here in the third dimension, it's very interesting because people sometimes tell you things all the time, which aren't true. And you think they're true, but maybe they're not. But in the fifth dimension, if you're using a good psychic and you go into the fifth dimension, who's accurate, all the information they tell you is completely true, and so there's no doubt there, and that has been proved to me so many times when I've gotten messages from the other side. Sometimes the messages are pretty incredible, and any doubts that I had when I started this process 25 years ago have long evaporated as a result of that. So, so when President Kennedy and the rest of the other spirits gave me the message that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us, that there would be no war, there'd be no World War III involving North Korea, everything turned out to be true. Now, what's fascinating is that there were a series of books called Conversations with Nostradamus, which were published by Ozark Mountain Publishers by Dolores Cannon in the years 1986, 1987, and 1988. Dolores Cannon, I knew her personally. She was a wonderful lady before she passed away in 2014. I miss her. She was a great psychic. And what she did is that She was contacted by Nostradamus. I think the first year she was contacted was 85 or 1980, 86 in the last century. And Nostradamus said that many of his quatrains were being misinterpreted by people here in this century, and they needed to be reinterpreted again. He said that, so she contacted him with the help of about a dozen different psychic students of hers, and they went into group meditation. They went back to the early 16th century, the 1500s, when Nostradamus was still alive back then, and they reinterpreted all the quatrains he had written, because he said many of those quatrains were incorrect. So she went through them, and there was a three-volume set that was published called Conversations with Nostradamus, volumes 1, 2, and 3. And the books themselves are still published today. And I urge you to get a copy of those. And if you like to read them, I remember finding out about those books in the late 80s and 90s, and then reading them from back to cover over and over again. One of the most interesting things that was said in those books was that in 1995, that there would be the start of a nuclear war, a third world war, in the United States and Europe from terrorists in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And that would be the result of President Clinton sending in troops to help protect the Muslims back in 1993. Nostradamus said that if the U.S. government got involved with that, that would lead to a third nuclear war. Well, Clinton did send some troops back in there to protect the Muslims, but because all of us have made the right choices, that Third World War did not materialize. And actually, nothing happened. Sure, we've had a lot of challenges, but according to his books, and if you look at Dolores Cannon's books for the year 2005, you'll see that many cities in the United States were in rubble from the conflict, from this worldwide conflict, and it just didn't happen. We have challenges now, of course, but the amount of devastation and destruction that she wrote about just did not happen. And so I've talked with Nostradamus extensively about it, and he said that because all of us here have made the right choices to collectively create a much better and happier planet, that there's not going to be a third world war. This is not to say, of course, that we don't have conflicts and we have challenges, but it's not going to be as bad as predicted in those books, or by Nostradamus for a third world war, or by other people who prophesize doom and gloom. Actually, with the virus, I've been told that what the Galactics have done, the Galactic Alliance did, is soon after this virus appeared in March worldwide, they came in and they took out the worst part of it, so it wasn't as bad. It's still, of course, I'm not saying that people haven't, you know, died from the virus and gotten sick from the virus, but it hasn't been as bad as it could have been, thanks to their intervention. And it's kind of like back in the 1980s and 70s and 90s, early 90s, there were at least 8 to 10, 12 times when either Soviet generals or American generals had fired a missile at each other, at either our country or the Russians. We'd fire a missile at Russia, or Russia would fire a missile at us. And each time the Galactic Alliance had stepped in and disabled the missiles so that we wouldn't end up killing ourselves in any kind of nuclear conflagration. So that they're, we're getting help. We're getting a lot of help from this ascension. And I've got a plug in my computer. It's running low on juice here. So let me do that real quick here, my friends. Hold on. So we are just not going to have the wars that have been predicted in the future here. I'm especially excited for our children. Now, a lot of kids have a lot of challenges today, and a lot of kids are still locked at home because of the virus. But I want to tell you some exciting news. The Emoto Peace Project, who I work closely with Michiko Hayashi in Tokyo, their website is www.emoto peaceproject.net. They have made up these wonderful their homeschool kits to show how kids can make a much better and happier world. And what Dr. Emoto found is that if you take They did rice experiments. And if you take three jars of rice, I'll see if I can find one in this book here. If you take one jar of rice and you send it lots of love and light, I'll see if I can find a picture on it here. The rice itself will not get stale. Instead, it'll last for many months. And this is an experiment. They've got a picture of it here, if you can see it. There's three jars of rice here. You can sort of see it there, okay? The rice now on my far right is rice that has sent lots of love. And if you could see this picture clearly, I know it's kind of blurry, it's sort of small, it's completely white. And that's it right there's the rice right there. It's completely white. And that's because the rice itself, every day, the parents and children of this family sent lots of love and light to the rice. They also wrote the word love on the glass itself that contained the rice. The middle one started to deteriorate, and you can see the rice has started to rot. It's yellow covered. It's got some bacteria growing in it. But that rice was sent hatred, and it was sent lots of hate thoughts, negative thoughts to it. The one on the far left is fascinating because that's the one that's completely black. And if you look at it, it's all black. That's the one that was ignored. And so what Dr. Amoto found out is that if you send loving, positive thoughts to your fellow humanity, to rice or to anything really, to water, you can raise the vibration and create a much better and happier world. And the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, we've got these wonderful rice kits now. They're just $15, and they teach kids the value of making right, of how you can teach kids that your thoughts have a positive influence or a negative influence upon the world with these rice experiments. We include everything in it, including these beautiful messages from Water Book for kids. And it's written for little kids, but I mean, as an adult, you can understand it too. the Moto office still does their work, of course. Dr. Moto passed away some years ago, but it's carried on by Michiko Hayashi, Hiromoto, Mrs. Moto, and all the wonderful people at their office. And one of the things they say is that we are about 70% water. And so, and what Dr. Moto used to say is that we are all, we have, water is God and God is water. And so if you raise your vibrations by thinking positive thoughts about water, you can make yourself feel better and make the world a better place. So it's just there's so much. I've been fascinated with water ever since I had Dr. Amoto on my radio show. The first time he was on my radio show was in Seattle on KKNW. The first time was on July 25th, 2014. And I felt very, very fortunate and lucky to have him on. What happened, I'll never forget that day. We started the program at 3 p.m. Seattle time, Pacific time. And he talked about his crystal experiments and different experiments with rice and stuff and everything. And so I asked him about 3:30 p.m. whether his ideas for beautiful crystals, whether that would also help, could also help create a much better and happier world. And he said, yes. So at the time I had about probably 30,000-40,000 listeners back then. And so I asked everyone listening that day around the world to please send lots of love and light to the Palestinians and the Israelis in the Gaza Strip because they were fighting. And I asked for one simple thing. I asked that there be a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange food and medical supplies for the wounded. And so we did that for maybe 4 or 5 minutes on the radio show at about 3:30 to 3:35 p.m. Pacific time on July 25th, 2014. And so after that, I got to the place where I was staying that night at about 8:30 p.m. And as soon as I got in, I turned on the television, and on CNN, they had a screen there. And right at the bottom of the screen, there was a red banner that said that the Israelis and the Palestinians had just agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange food and medical supplies for the wounded on both sides. And that's exactly what we asked for. And so our attention experiment worked. It was just amazing and how beautiful that was. Of course, the next day I contacted the CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, PBS, all the alphabet soup, you know, media outlets. Nobody was interested. Nobody did a story on it, but I knew it worked. And so ever since then, I've been sold on the Emota Project. And one of the beautiful things is that we are powerful spiritual beings and we can make a difference in the world. Back in January of this year, on January 3rd of 2020, with all these wildfires burning in Australia, I did a similar experiment of meditation with Michiko Hayashi of the Emota Peace Project in Tokyo and others. And I asked that lots of love and light be sent to Australia and asking that the fires be stopped, that the wildlife be saved, and that rains come to Australia. Well, within a week or two, it wasn't just my program. I know there were lots and lots of light workers around the world sending a lot of light to Australia. And I don't want to take credit in that way for it, but I know everybody, all of our light, all of our prayers around the world helped Australia and the beautiful people of Australia in stopping those fires. And I think within 10 days, a week, they had the most rain they had in history. It was just amazing. They actually had too much rain in some areas where there was flooding. But the rain stopped. Australia was saved. I know a lot of places were burned up. But let's do that today, my friends. Let's send lots of love and light and prayers for Australia. Oh, no, not for Australia, but for California. So these fires will stop. And so that the winds and the clouds off the Pacific will come in and bring a ton of rain to California. You know, California is a beautiful place, and the temperatures have been hot there. I'm sure some of the fires are natural, but my guides have told me that some of them are set, and they're arson. There are negative entities out there who have a perverse pleasure, I think, in watching fires destroy homes and property. But I want us, if we can all send lots of love and light to the people of California and pray for rain, lots and lots of rain in the next 24 hours. Keep praying for rain for California, because I know we can create it just with our thoughts. That's one of the important messages of Dr. Emoto, is that we are all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a much better and happier place. And I know that if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier place. If you want any of these homeschool kits for kids, just send me an email. They're just $15 for the kit. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. That's outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me or text me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. That's 509-750-9793. And I'd be happy to send you a kit. Anyway, I wanted to tell everyone that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. Like Simon and I were talking about, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, but I know we can make a difference in the world. And I'll give you a couple examples of that. Back in March, I was contacted by some elders of the Hopi Indians in Arizona. And apparently their food truck supplies of food coming into the reservation in Hopi land were cut off. The trucks were broke down. Also, some of the drivers didn't want to drive in the reservation because the virus was there. And so the Hopi had asked me for help. So I started asking people for help. And then so far we've gotten somewhere between above $4,000 or $5,000 for food for the Hopi. 100% of all monies go right to the Hopi for their food. And I want to thank everyone so much for all their contributions. There's so many people who contributed. Teresa's contributed. There's been Paul out of Spokane. Teresa Bolton has, Diane Bolton and Teresa Bolton out of Montana contributed. Everyone's contributed so much. Dorothy of Montreal, Candace and her husband in Federal Way have contributed. Lene in Seattle has contributed. Everyone, they still need food, card games, blankets and sleeping bags for the upcoming winter, as well as sanitizing items. I plan to take a load of stuff down there later in September, so it's not too late. If you'd like to contribute anything, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Again, that's outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. About to give you an idea of how far our dollar goes. If you contribute like $600 or $700, we'll buy enough food for several hundred families. And I send the donations down to Martha Childress. She's with the Natural Choice Network. And she lives down in Sedona. And what she does, she works with the staff and the wonderful people at Walmart in Flagstaff, Arizona. And she buys the food there. And then she meets with other tribal members. And then either she delivers it up to the Hopi if the reservation's open. It's currently closed, but it's supposed to be opening soon. Or the tribal members will come down and pick it up and then bring it into the to the families. But they buy vegetables and canned goods. The other issue facing both the Hopi and the Navajo is clean water. Now, in many places in the United States, we're very lucky to have clean water. But places like Flint, Michigan, of course, the water's terrible, as well as in the Hopi and the Navajo as well. For decades, the Hopi have been drinking radioactive contaminated and arsenic contaminated water. Now, you may ask, well, how did that happen? Well, they used to have very clean water among the Hopi and the Navajo, but a mining company came in and pumped out much of the water out of the water table for mining activities. And as a result of that water being pumped out, now the Hopi get the water that they do get is at the very bottom of this water table. And at the bottom of the water table, the table itself is full of this radiation and full of arsenic. And one of the problems now in the Hopi Reservation is that men live about 44 years and women live somewhere in their 54 and mid-50s as a result of the bad water. And it's awful, really, because out in the rest of society, people live perhaps, I don't know, mid-70s, easy mid-80s. But their longevity is cut by 40 or 50% just because of the water and other things as well. So what I've been doing since 2018 is that I've been fundraising for the Hopi and Navajo, but mostly the Hopi, for clean water filters. And so far we've raised probably right around $35,000 for clean water filters. For $125, a clean water filter can be purchased for the Hopi. The manufacturer has agreed to sell us the clean water filters at their cost, which is their manufacturing cost. And then we give it to families among the Hopi, and then they just get to drink clean water. Now, these are special water filters because they have to take out the radiation and arsenic in the water itself. So they have to be specially built. I want to tell people some good news. I've also been in touch with a scientist in New Orleans recently who contacted me, who has done scalar experiments in cleaning water as well, eradicating pollution, including radiation from water, using scalar technology. So she's a wonderful lady. For privacy, I won't give her full name. Her name's Michelle, but she lives in New Orleans. And if she's listening today, I want to thank you so much. I will be we'll be having a conference call on that soon. But any help will be really appreciated for that. And if you'd like to send a donation for clean water for the Hopi, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And the contribution for clean water itself is tax deductible. It goes actually to the Washington Clean Water Foundation of Washington. And that's in Seattle with Leon McLaughlin. If you send me an email, I can send you all the information. With respect to the food, any donations regarding the food should just go directly to me, Ted Marr. You can do it by PayPal and with this email, outofthisworld1150 @gmail.com. And 100% of all monies collected go right to the Hopi for food. They're also needing blankets and sleeping bags for the winter. Card games, a lot of the people are shut up and in their homes and they need things to do. So any contributions would be really appreciated. They're beautiful people. They're very spiritual people. Unlike other Indian reservations, they don't have a casino on their land. They don't believe in it, and so they don't believe in the gambling. And so they do need help, and I'm happy to help them as much as I can. One of the things that I was at visiting the Hopi about a year ago, a little more than a year ago now, and they have what's called a rock called Prophecy Rock on the reservation. And the rock itself, when you go up to the rock, there's two lines on the rock. The bottom line is a straight line like this, and it goes around the corner, and it's divided into five sections. And according to the elders, those five sections represent the different dimensions. And after the third section, which is this third dimension here, under one of the lines, this straight line, if we live in harmony and peace with the planet, our civilization will continue forever, basically, on this planet. There's a second line above that straight line, and that line shoots up at about a 30 degree angle, zigzags, goes a little higher, and then stops. And that line, what the Hopi elders say, is their prophecy that if we continue to fight and argue and battle each other and create disharmony and wars and conflict, our civilization will definitely end. And what's interesting is that this rock is divided, like I said, into five sections. And I think that corresponds to the five different dimensions. And what's interesting is that the top, not the bottom line that's straight, but the top line that's zigzag like this and then ends, that ends right before the fifth section, which corresponds to the fifth dimension, which we are now shifting into now. Personally, I think that most of us have made the right choices for the planet, and we've exhibited compassion and caring and loving for each other. And because of those right choices, we are on the path for a beautiful, bright future with the steady line around the rock. We were on that earlier path where the rock goes up 30%, zigzags, and then stops just before the fifth dimension. But we are off that path, thankfully, now. One of the things that Nostradamus mentioned in Dolores Cannon's book, I mentioned that earlier, was that back in 1986, 87, and 88, from his personal perspective in from France in the early 16th century, he saw us, humanity here, shifting into the fifth dimension by the year 2038. Well, now it's 2020, and parts of the planet, notably Mount Shasta, are now shifting into the fifth dimension. That's an 18-year increase. And we should, and Nostradamus said we should all be congratulated on shifting so fast into this new dimension. We've beat it by 18 years. Isn't that amazing? With no nuclear war, no World War III. Sure, we have our challenges, and there has been some conflicts around the world, but we're going to get through it. And I know we are. And every single thing that my friends on the other side have told me since 2015 have all come through. So when they say that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us, that this virus issue will be over, well over by the end of this year, and we'll start off on a new leaf in human history starting in January. It'll be a time of normalcy and a celebration. I believe them, because they haven't told me, they've never told me in the last 5 years anything that's been counter to what I've experienced as the truth. And that's one thing, is when you get in touch with the other side and you learn how to talk to the other side, you realize all there is truth. That's all there is. And actually, the Beatles are right too. All you need is love. All there is love, actually. And one of the things that Albert Einstein is now talking to me about, he said that if he had to do it all over again, he would have created what's called a bomb of love. And this is a message that he wrote, and you can look it up on the internet if you like. It's called the Bomb of Love Letter, that he wrote in 1955 to his daughter, Listrel. And he asked her to keep this letter with her for 30 years. And I don't know why he had for 30 years, but he asked her to hold that letter for 30 years before releasing it. Maybe he thought that in 1955, during the Cold War, it wasn't the right time, and he wanted a better time for for her to release the letter. And so she finally released it in 1985. And in that letter, Professor Einstein said that love is the most powerful force in the universe. It envelops and uplifts humanity. And if we were truly to create a better world, we should send out love and harmony and peace to each other. He said that if he had to do it all over again, he would have never created a nuclear bomb of destruction that could destroy the planet. Instead, he would have created what he called a bomb of love. And it's a beautiful letter, and I urge you all to look it up. It's just look up Albert Einstein and type in the bomb of love letter. It's a beautiful letter. Now, one of the funny things about Albert is he says it's impolite to call somebody by their last name. So when you talk about Professor Einstein, say Professor Einstein, Dr. Einstein, you can say Albert. Don't say just Einstein. You know, it's better to be respectful. So anyway, that's one message. One message I have from him. But he's here with us now. And all the spirits on the other side, including Professor Einstein, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, John F. Kennedy, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all of them have said that they'd love to trade places with us, Mary Magdalene. All of them have said they'd love to trade places with us now, if they could, to experience this new ascension into the fifth dimension. They're all very proud of us, and especially because we've all made right choices, and the ascension now is happening much faster that they even felt possible many years ago. One of the things that's going to happen is that when we shift into this fifth dimension, we will have free energy, and people will eventually live for at least 1,000 years, up to 25,000 years. And people also will change their eating habits, where they will not eat meat like we do now. And our vibrations will become much, much higher. It'll be a very happy time for humanity. And this time will last for many, many, many thousands of years. If President Kennedy tells me that if he had lived back in the early 60s, we would now be shifting into the, we would have shifted into the fifth dimension by 1970. It's in 68 to 70. We would have cooperated with the Soviets on their space program. We would be a spacefaring civilization right now. We wouldn't have as large a government as we have now. We'd still have a government, but because most people would know how to act with each other, we wouldn't have as large a government now. We wouldn't need the security forces that we have now to enforce laws in a government situation, because most people would know how to act. I talked about this a little bit with Simon earlier. And I told Simon, well, if you look at a flock of birds or a herd of deer or a flock of geese, they all know how to act. I mean, there's no geese police telling separate geese, you know, stay and fly in this formation, because they all instinctively know how to act. And one of the most important things about animals is that, and people too, is that we all have the spark of the Creator within us. We all have the spark of God, if you will, within us. And once you realize that, you're not going to cause any problems or harm anybody as a result of that. We have a beautiful planet, and it's a gift to be here. There's a lot of souls who wanted to be part of this ascension process now, but were not able to join for one reason or another. And so if you're kind of down about life or you're having a tough time, just remember that it's a real gift to be here now, and to enjoy your life as much as possible, especially in this third dimension, because this third dimension is on its way out, and it'll be replaced by the fifth dimension, in which case people will communicate mostly telepathically. The language will still be there, but we will all communicate mostly telepathically, and it'll be a beautiful a new world. This is not from me so much as it is from all my friends on the other side, that I've written about in my book. And like I said, if you want a copy, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150, at gmail.com. One of the things you'll be able to do when you shift into the fifth dimension is time travel. And I want to thank my producers so much today for giving me this extra time, because if you like, I can teach you how to time travel today. Would you all like to, I'm getting a yes, a big yes. Okay, well, I can teach you how to time travel today since we have some time. It's very simple to do. What you do is that you make two copies of yourself just outside of yourself. Okay, so you think in your mind to make two copies of yourself in what's called the astral plane. And then what you do, then you think, for practice, you think of a time you like to go to in the past. Generally, it's a happy time. If you'd like to go to a happy time, go back to a happy time, maybe when you're with your family or with your parents or your first pet or your first girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. Or maybe you were out nature walking with your family, your dad or mom, or whatever you wanted to do, which was a pleasurable and positive experience. And you keep the one part of you here with you, just outside in the astral plane, and then you send the other part all the way back to that to that pleasant time. And during that time, you can interact with your parents or loved one or family or pets or whatever. And then after you're all done, then you bring you bring that copy of you back to where you are in here, and you merge the two together. So you have one copy of yourself now, and then you merge that one copy back into yourself. And that's how you do it. You can do that to travel to any part of this planet or other planets. You can travel to the past, present, or future on this or other planets or other dimensions when you get good at it. It just takes practice. It's like riding a bicycle or learning a new language. You can do that. Now, one of the things that stop people from that is if they drink fluoridated water. Fluoridated water ossifies the pineal gland, and it stops you from having any psychic ability. So if you are in a city that does have fluoridated water, I urge you to get something called Arctic Skate Liver Oil. I'll spell it for you. It's ARCTIC. Skate is spelled S as in Sam, KATE, liver oil. Sometimes you see it as fermented Arctic Skate Liver Oil. And what you do, if you take just one capsule per day for 2 weeks, it'll take all the fluoride out of your system, including all of it out of your pineal gland. It's extremely effective, and it's the only thing on the planet that takes out the Arctic Skate Liver Oil. It's not very expensive. For $30, you can buy a big bottle of it for with 120 capsules. Sometimes it says fermented Skate Liver Oil, and so if you do use it, you use it every day for 2 weeks. After that, you just use it for maintenance every other day. It's very important also that if you live in an area that water is fluoridated, get a good water filter to take the fluoride out of the water. And for those of you also should realize that when you bathe or take a bath or a shower, 30% of your daily water intake comes from bathing, like a shower or a bathtub. So you also want to get a good water filter for that water coming into your bathtub too. Fluoridated water was marketed as a way for people to prevent cavities in this country, in the United States, and elsewhere back in the after World War II in the 50s, 60s, 70s, etc. But people since that time have realized that fluoridation actually can harm your pineal gland. It ossifies it over a period of time. And they've actually done studies, intelligence studies in Canada, where they've done IQ tests college tests with students in high school students in Toronto and in Vancouver. Now, Toronto is, of course, in Eastern Canada, and Vancouver's on Western Canada on the Pacific. It's a beautiful city. I like Toronto too. It's another beautiful town. But what they've done, people in Canada, the Canadian government has done studies and found that the IQ test scores of students, high school students, taking the college entrance examinations are, on average, 20% less, lower than those in Vancouver, Canada. And that cuts across all socioeconomic lines, no matter how much you're earning, no matter what kind of, what ethnicity you are, or where you come from in Canada, right across the board, you have a 20% decrease in intelligence on your as reflected by these college test scores, and it's from the use of fluoride in the water. That's what people think up in Canada, and I think they're absolutely right. So it's not a good idea, in my opinion, to drink fluoridated water. Of course, you're entitled to your own opinion, but if you're going to do psychic work and you're going to do time travel, you have to get rid of that fluoride in your pineal gland. People don't know the history of fluoride in the water. It was first used by Adolf Hitler in Nazi concentration camps, and he used to put it into the water of concentration camps so the inmates would become docile, obedient worker bees in the concentration camps, and they didn't have any intuition, nothing, no tie into God. When the President Truman brought over 8,000 Nazi scientists to the United States shortly after World War II, beginning in 1945, many of those scientists who were familiar with Hitler's plans for fluoridated water urged this government, the United States government, and other countries to fluoridate their water. And so that's how today we have 70% of the water in the United States is fluoridated as a result of that. But it's, in my opinion, everyone's out of their opinion, of course. In my opinion, it's not good for you. But it's very simple to take out. The interesting thing is, in Germany today, they do not have fluoridated water. It's outlawed, and it's not used in Austria either. I have a relative who's the head of the water supply system in Bavaria, in a town there near Frankfurt, or near Munich, actually. And I asked him about fluoridated water, and he says, no, we haven't used that since World War II. Absolutely. The Germans know what fluoridation can do, and so it's not a good thing, and so they've kept it out. I want to get to, I think we had some questions come in. I've asked people to go ahead and email me, so I'm going to look that real quick now. This is an email from Douglas in the UK. Thanks, Doug, for your comments. He's commented about the negativity in the media. You sort of have to rise above it. I think a lot of news directors, they're just sort of stuck in an old paradigm. They're good people, but they think that the way to get your ratings up is to be negative and talk about the latest car crashes and the latest numbers on the COVID virus. People, I think, get tired of the negativity. I know I've listened to some radio shows recently where all they want to do is talk about negative things, including how many people died from the virus. And then all it does is create an atmosphere of fear, and it doesn't really help society. One of the wonderful experiments that the Emoto office in Tokyo has done recently is that they've taken two bottles containing the virus, the coronavirus, and in one of them, they write the words love and gratitude on the bottle containing the virus. And the second one, they write the word hate or fear on the bottle containing the virus. And what's fascinating is that they then take a small part of the water in the virus, and they look at it underneath an electron microscope. And in the one with the love, the virus is transformed into a beautiful water crystal. And they said that there's no harm. It renders it almost harmless at that point. But if you take the same virus and you said, if you write fear and hate on the bottle with the water containing the virus itself becomes much more dangerous, and it has a lethality that it doesn't have with the love. So one of the things they recommend in doing is to raise your vibration as much as possible. Try to uplift yourself, and rather than engaging in doom and gloom, to be as positive as possible with love as the highest vibration. I'm going to play this now as a with the 528 tuning fork. That raises people's vibrations, and it also can help help people with the virus to help get rid of it. It's like what Albert Einstein said. Love is the most powerful and important force in the universe, and we are all... we can create a much better and happier world by just being positive and getting out in the sunlight rather than staying at home. Staying at home just gets you sick. But being out in the UV light, especially if you're in North America now with summer here, That will help kill the virus if nothing else were. The fascinating thing now is that many governments are requiring masks, and people don't realize it, but the virus itself is only in diameter, it's only 0.12 microns. It's very, very tiny. The best mask, called an N95, available here in the United States, protects only down to 2.0 microns. So it's like using chicken wire, huge chicken wire, to keep out a fly from flying through. Of course, it doesn't really stop it from flying, from going through. So the masks themselves don't work. That's been recognized actually by the CDC and the UN recently, that they don't even work. But what happens is that if for anything, it provides maybe psychological comfort to people to make them think that they're doing something to keep themselves healthy. Actually, the opposite is just true. I've heard from read articles by medical doctors that if you wear the mask a lot, what can happen is that it becomes like a petri dish, so that it seals in a lot of negative bacteria in and around your mouth. And for a lot of people, they get what's called pleurisy. They get this infection. They get pleurisy inside their lungs, which is a serious debilitating lung infection. They also get like rashes around your mouth as well. Also, the third thing that happens too is that it doesn't build up your immune system, because there's a reason why you breathe in air and then you exhale it, because you want to get rid of those germs and not be exposed to that constantly. This leads to the next issue of social distancing. The virus itself, according to medical doctors, actually has a range of 30 feet. So why do you have a distance of 6 feet for social distancing? It's not for the virus. I've been told it's for facial recognition technology, so that if they want to track you through cameras or whatnot, they need at least 6 feet between people, among people, so that they can track you with these facial recognition cameras. It doesn't make any sense. If you look at it logically, it doesn't make one sense at all. So I just want people, I respect free will. If people want to wear a mask, they're certainly welcome to. But I urge everyone to look up the requirements for it and do whatever they feel is right in terms of what they want to do. One of the things I want to end today's show with is that I was approached by, I mentioned this before, but I was approached by six U.S. presidents about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Jefferson, Washington, John Quincy Adams, Teddy Roosevelt came in as well. Benjamin Franklin also came in, and they were all concerned about the state of the world currently, with a lot of riots and happening and people trying to burn down the downtown areas, destroy government buildings and private property. And there's they wanted me to have a show called Save the Republic. And they said there was absolutely no reason for any of this. They said that they all worked very hard to create a beautiful new country. This is from George Washington. In 1776, as an example for freedom for the rest of the world, and freedom and prosperity, and so people could live in harmony and peace. And this is what some negative elements are trying to destroy today, but they're not going to be successful. But they want us to stand up for peace and freedom, and make our voice heard. You know, a lot of these cities, some of the governments, some of the mayors and cities across the United States are actually encouraging people to burn down and riot and cause damage. And that's absolutely no place in a country like America. This is a beautiful country. And most people want good things for themselves and their children. They want truth and justice, and to treat everyone with equality and peace and love. Of course, I don't think racism, of course, has absolutely no place in the United States or any country in the world. But it goes beyond that in treating people with honesty and decency and harmony and peace, because I don't think conflict as we move into the fifth dimension is going to have any place in this beautiful new world. And mark my words, friends. By January, by the end of the year, things will get much better. And in January of next year, we'll be having a far better world. And we will start shifting already into this beautiful new fifth dimension. I want to thank everyone's listening for so much for listening today, and I want to thank them all for their contributions to the Hopi. Again, if you'd like to donate to the Hopi for either food or clean water, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also want to mention again these beautiful new Modo Peace Project homeschool kits we've got for kids. They're just $15 and includes this beautiful book called Message from Water from Dr. Emoto, and different exercises for the kids. It teaches kids what happens is that we ask the kids to do this rice experiment where you have three bottles of rice, and one of the first bottle send lots of love and light to the bottle every day. The second bottle send lots of hate, negative thoughts, and the third bottle ignore. And the kids will see in the first bottle the white rice will stay that way in perfect condition for many weeks and many months. It won't deteriorate. The middle one, where people send hatred and negative thoughts to this rice bottle, will start to deteriorate. It'll look kind of ugly, may grow some mold, but it won't look black. And the last one that turns black is usually when it's ignored totally. So that it's a fascinating example of how we can create a much better and happier place. I just got a note from my producer that we have a 12-minute audio issue, but I hope you're able to hear me okay. But at any rate, the kits are wonderful little gifts for the kids. And if you're a parent at home and you've got kids at home and they want to see how these rice experiments work and how our thoughts can create our reality in a good way, these are wonderful things you can practice at home. Especially if you're not able to go to school, and you can order them now. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to tell you all about it. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. A week from today, I'll be broadcasting live from the fourth and fifth dimensions at Mount Shasta, California. And I should have some pretty incredible stories to tell you. During my last trip there a month ago, I was aboard a Pleiadian Admiral Halosaurus's mothership, which is half organic and half metal. He's invited me back on the ship again. And who knows, I might be able to broadcast from the from the ship itself in my next broadcast a week from today. We always have many miracle healings at Mount Shasta. They restored my eyesight to perfectly clear 20/10 vision in both eyes after I'd had 20/50 vision in one of my eyes for many decades. They also gave me a new heart in 2018. I've been working for many years without breaks, and they gave me a new heart. One of the people on my trip in September 2017 was given a new set of legs after she'd been crippled for over 20 years. Another lady was completely healed of Lyme disease last September, after we did prayers and meditation at on Mount Shasta. We go to a special place, which is an entryway to the hollow earth. And I have to tell you this, we can't guarantee it'll happen for everyone, because everyone's got to be in a good mood and of high vibration. If you have any doubts, don't come, because you have to be a positive vibration and not negative. Also, they prefer it if you don't eat meat. If you do eat meat, you should always bless the animal before you eat them, as a matter of common courtesy. Because when animals are killed, whether that's a chicken or a cow, they have a lot of negativity. They're in terror when they're killed. And so when you eat that meat, guess what? You ingest that terror and goes into your system and brings your energy down and your vibrations down. But if you have any questions on that, feel free to email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I started this radio show. I first started on KKNW in Bellevue in Seattle, Washington, back in September, November of 2013. And I was directed by angels to start my show. It was an amazing experience. I didn't know anything about radio at the time, but two angels, actually two homeless people, came up to me in a library and said, two different dates, said, they called me by my name. They said, Ted, we think that you should start writing books and have your own radio show. And then they disappeared. And so I didn't, and that happened twice. I told my angel guides, I said, I didn't know a thing about starting a radio program, but they said, don't worry, we'll help you find it. One thing led to the other. And I was on KKNW in Bellevue for 7 years. And I left now and I'm on in this new show in San Francisco on BBS Radio. And it's been a wonderful experience. And I'm so happy to be here on BBS Radio. It was a good experience also at KKNW in Seattle, but it was time for me to move on. And I'm now broadcasting in the San Francisco Bay Area online on BBS Radio, as well as in Miami on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on WWNN, as well as in Vienna, Austria now on Radio Soul International on Mondays, starting at 9 p.m. Central European Time in Vienna. So for more broadcast information, please go to my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net. Out of This World Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit program, and if you'd like to donate, it's just $5 a month or $50 for the year. Just go to our website at www.outofthisworldradio.net, and I'd love your support. With that, my friends, I want to thank you all so much for listening today. I think I've been talking nonstop now for about 2.5 hours. So I'm going to take a break now. But I want to thank you so much for coming, for listening to my show today. I want to tell everyone that if we all work together, we can create a much better and beautiful and bright, happy world. And it's just around the corner. We're creating it right now. And I want everyone listening out there to have a beautiful and happy day. And thank you again so much for listening. Thank you again, everyone. Bye-bye. Hope you have a beautiful weekend. Bye-bye.
光る星